PAL Lighting is a globally distributed line of wirelessly controlled underwater LED lighting and controls for pools, spas, landscapes, water features, and outdoor accent lighting. Our passion is to be able to light up any space, whether it's a pool or spa, an outdoor living area, or anything else in between. The result is the most powerful, reliable, and diverse line of wirelessly controlled lights in the aquatics industry that are fully compatible with today's major pool automation systems. Light up the night with PAL Lighting. Ready to learn more? Visit us on the web today at pallighting.com.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Pool Magazine Podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Johnny Nalepa, president of Smart Aquatics, a pool engineering firm out of Coconut Grove, Florida. Pleased to have you with us today on the show, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate it.
You know, me and you have been going back and forth for quite a while on a really cool project that you've had waiting in the wings. And I saw the initial design renderings and they were so cool. I asked you to keep Pool Magazine in the loop so that when this project was finally completed, that we would be the first ones to show it off to the rest of the industry. And I know that you're finally ready to show it in the magazine, and we're going to talk about that project a bit later in our discussion. I thought a good jumping off point before we dive headfirst into that would be first to have you talk a little bit about who you are, what Smart Aquatics specializes in, and how you got your start in the industry.
Yeah, so, well, first off, very exciting project. And yeah, I think you and I have both been waiting for that one to come out. And, you know, I'm sure everybody else as well, who at least is aware about it. But yeah, so I'm just a quick overview is I'm a second generation pool professional. My father started a pool service company some 40 years ago, service repairs, installations, stuff like that, small renovations. And it's a family business. Him and my mother ran that for, you know, some 40 something years. And so my brother now, my parents are now happily retired. My brother runs that company. So it's still in business, which is awesome. And I kind of branched off and did my own thing. So I have a background in swimming pools. I've been working on pools literally since I can remember. You know, it was a family business. It's just kind of what we did. You know, we took our work home with us. You know, we had chemical test kits on the counter in the kitchen, right? So I have an extensive background in swimming pools with hands-on experience. And from there, I always had a passion for design. And so long story short, my company Smart Aquatics that I started 4 years ago, we are a design, engineering, and consulting firm. We offer a couple of different services, one of them being design. We'll take a project from its infancy. We'll design an original design concept. We'll engineer that with a set of construction documents. And then we'll, we offer consulting services like construction management to see the project all the way through to completion. So, and we like to think of ourselves as Miami's premier design and consulting firm. So,
yeah, definitely. I mean, your family had a big background in this, but what inspired you specifically to specialize in pool design and engineering?
Well, you know, what's interesting, man, I kind of reached a point in my life where I've been doing pools forever, right? Cleaning pools, servicing, small renovations. And, you know, because I started at such an early age, I'm the type of person that has to constantly be challenging myself if it's not something new and it's not, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, right? So I just reached a point in my life where I pretty much learned everything I could from the family business. And it was no longer kind of serving me. I reached the ceiling at my parents' company, and I kind of just, you know, got back into the schooling because I was always interested in design. I got that from my mother. She's very artistic. She could draw like crazy cartoons and stuff. And I was always the creative type drawing in school. And so there was kind of a lull in my early 20s where I just didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself and my life. I knew that I had experience in pools, obviously, and I knew that I was a creative. And so I went back to school for like architecture, started studying that, you know, and I'd come home and stay up at night and just started, you know, playing around with the design softwares and everything. And it was actually, it was weird because it was a challenging point in my life where I just didn't have a direction. And one of my best friends from middle school, to this day, I still can't believe that he was so cavalier about it. I was talking to him about it, you know, telling him I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And, you know, I was asking some of my teachers at school and they were like, well, if you're not going to be an architect, you know, because I was taking architecture class at the time, like, do you really need to be spending wasting 5 years getting a master's in architecture and all the money that, you know, that goes along with it? And one of my friends, Manny Sarah Hovind, and we were on the phone, and he literally just so casually was like, dude, why don't you just design pools, man? Like, you know more about pools than most people. and you have a background in, you know, or a passion for design, you've gone through schooling for design. I was studying design at the time, you know, architecture. And so it had never even occurred to me up until that point, like, wow, like that could have been an avenue that I could have taken. So I started seeking out, you know, pool design. That's really kind of how that inspired, you know, I wasn't really inspired. My friend, it was through a friend. He kind of mentioned it to me. And that's kind of how that point in my life began.
So that light bulb moment was the changing point in your career. I mean, yeah, you got a few years experience under your belt running your own company now. I mean, what are some of the key challenges that you faced, you know, getting your own company started?
Oh, man, it's been a whirlwind of even how I came to start my own company. It wasn't part of the plan either. It just kind of happened. It's kind of the same thing. You know, I think it's part of just who I am and how I was raised. I'm all constantly pushing myself to do better. You know, I always want to be the best at everything I do. And so I left my previous company. I reached the ceiling there. I kind of grew very fast within that company, reached the ceiling, and just decided to start my own company one day. And that was I think it was 3 months before COVID happened. So that's some timing for you. Definitely, you know, it wasn't part of the plan. Like I said, I left my previous company. It wasn't part of the plan at all. And I kind of had a 2-week period there where I was, again, just kind of, what am I going to do with myself now? I just quit my job, you know, which I highly recommend to everybody, by the way. So that in and of itself was kind of crazy and scary. And, you know, I just got a house and a car. So kind of just started reaching out to colleagues. I was networking and just letting everybody know, hey, I guess I'm doing my own thing now. It was actually a surprise to me how much feedback I got from people and how helpful everybody was. Man, and I have to tell you, that was really the difference for me. What a difference. Just there's a number of individuals who are just, they're a lot farther along in life and colleagues and friends of mine now that just have had a great amount of success, and for no benefit to themselves for any other reason, just being good human beings, you know, reaching out to me. How can I help? Could you use some work? Or even just for a call for, you know, check in, how you doing? Check in, how's everything going? That was the biggest thing for me. But as far as challenges, man, everything has been a challenge. I mean, starting a business is no easy task. You know, everybody kind of sees everything on the surface and they see the success, but really it's, you know, for 2 years, man, I worked myself into burnout, you know, just late nights every day, not eating right, not working out. And that's just what it takes sometimes, I think. But everything for, you know, I had to learn how to hire people. I had to learn how to fire people. And that's part of what I'm learning now is to be a leader and a business owner. You know, prior to this, my entire life has just been about being a hustler, right? And hustling and getting the work done, rolling your sleeves up. And you know, I take pride in my work. So I was always proud of, nobody could do the job better than me. But if you want to build a business, you know, you need a team of people and you got to learn how to be an entirely different person. And so I think that was a big challenge. And managing your emotions when you're trying to teach other people and letting them make mistakes and learn and stuff. And so all of it has just been a huge challenge, but it's awesome. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. It's the best thing that I ever did. It's also probably the hardest thing that I've ever done. Yeah. And we're still kicking.
You seem to be off to a good start so far, Johnny. I know collaboration is a big part of what you do, and that the project that we're going to discuss that you worked on with Foxterra Custom Pool Systems with, you know, yes. I know you've frequently been brought in as a consultant in the past for specific aspects of a pool or outdoor living project that incorporates some type of water feature. Now, this project in particular is a perfect example, really, of many of the types of projects that you work on, where there's a residential pool with specific challenges and a unique element that requires some kind of type of expertise that you specialize in. Now, a luxury pool and outdoor living environment on a waterfront property in South Florida. I know there's a Lamborghini involved somewhere in this whole thing. But Johnny, please walk us through this project a little bit.
Yeah, so this is, I guess we've been calling it the Lambo pool or the Lamborghini pool, you know, for obvious reasons. So there is a Lamborghini parked in this swimming pool. And this was a culmination of, yeah, it's been a team effort here. You know, Alex Moeller is the client. And I mean, it's worth noting that, you know, a lot of times the clients get looked over in these aspects unless they're celebrities. And even at that, their name gets thrown in there as a celebrity. But, you know, great. I was watching this podcast the other day and it was an architecture giving a lecture and he kind of hit it on the head. He said, you know, great projects have great clients. And if it's not for these clients who have these amazing ideas and, you know, the means to bring these ideas to fruition, you know, then these projects would never happen, right? So you have to give props to the client. And in this case, Alex Moeller, you know, he's a big car guy. And so he's got a new house that he built in Davie, Florida, he's got a Ferrari in his movie theater. So he's the entire wall, it's a pane of glass wall, and there's a Ferrari just sitting right there in the movie theater as you're sitting next to the screen. And so he wanted to incorporate his cars into his house, basically. And one of those ideas was to incorporate his car, his Lamborghini, into the swimming pool. So he approached Fox Terra Design, Justin and Nate, two brothers out of California, and they do some pretty crazy, wild, and incredible things. I'm sure you've probably seen them on Instagram.
Yeah, they've been on a magazine. They were on the cover of a issue a few issues back.
Oh, I didn't know that. Which issue was that? Were they on?
Our summer 2022 issue.
You know, I think most people probably heard of them by now. If you haven't, you should definitely check them out. But Justin and Nate, real nice guys, man. And they're just doing some crazy cool things. I think that they're one of the few people in the industry probably who's really exposing the industry to the rest of the world, I think. That's been a big thing for a while. Our industry is kind of like a bubble, right? Because it's so specialized. They've done a really good job of kind of expanding that bubble, getting more eyes of lay people, right? Not pool people, to get in and look how cool swimming pools and backyards and outdoor living spaces have become, or how cool they can be. So they took Alex Moeller's, inspiration of incorporating his car into the swimming pool, and they came up with an incredible design. The area of the pool that incorporates the car is actually a deck level perimeter overflow, but it's a grass edge instead of having deck. So because they're from California, right, we have certain codes here. We're literally as far away as from them as you can get. We're on the East Coast here. And so we have different codes, regulations, and stuff like that. And so we were brought on the project by the contractor, Custom Pool Systems, who ended up building the pool. We took their design and we developed it into a working set of construction drawings that the contractor then builds from. In this case, probably more than most pools, I would say, or some pools, some of the stuff we do is pretty crazy. But, it required a little bit more of what we call like design development. When you're dealing with clients like this and with a vehicle that's probably $250,000, we wanted to make sure that we didn't damage the car, we by making the water too deep, or when the car is driving over, the perimeter overflow there. I mean, that's a slot with a gutter underneath, so we have a cantilevered condition. We got to make sure this thing's going to work right. So this was a really cool design. We were excited to work on it, but it was definitely a challenging one. So we took their design and we developed it to make sure that we met all the setbacks and the codes and everything for Miami. And part of developing the entry area, or that landing where the car comes in, perimeter overflows are pretty challenging in and of itself. And this one happened to be a grass edge, but we also had to make sure that we could support the vehicle going over this perimeter overflow as many times as the client wants, and parking it in the water there. So we do our due diligence. We're pretty thorough. We looked up the actual model, make and model of the vehicle. We measured the height of it. We measured the width of the wheels, because there are some bubblers in that area where the car is parked. So we don't want the car to drive over the bubblers, or at the very least, if the car does drive over them, we don't want them to crack, because most pool fixtures are plastic. So we had to, we contacted Lamborghini, and we got all the specifications. We just kind of confirmed what's the max slope the car can go up and down and left and right. And we wanted to make sure that we had enough water to overflow this feature so that you could visually see that it's a water feature. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that we didn't have too much water, because we didn't really want the car sitting in any sort of depth of water. We didn't want the water basically going past the wheels, or the rubber of the wheel. For instance, we don't want the brake pads or the brake calipers getting wet. We don't want the rims getting wet. Those rims probably cost, who knows, 40 grand or something like that before. So we have about a half inch of water at the very front of it. And it slopes in, and it's probably a maximum of an inch, like right in front of the spa there. But at any given time, the water doesn't go past the rubber of the tire, basically. And you still get a great water feature view, reflective qualities, and everything you wouldn't otherwise know. And Custom Pool Systems did a great job of achieving that. By the way, that's difficult, man. It's hard enough to get a dead level edge for a perimeter overflow, but when you have to do it when there's a Lamborghini sitting in it, and to make sure that water is not, any deeper than we anticipated or planned it to be, that's not easy to do. So a lot of times we make this stuff look easy, but it's not. And this one just came out. It's so cool. It's so like literally, I got the opportunity to drive the car, onto the feature there. It's just cool. It's so far out, something that you could dream up. The fact that Fox Terra was like, just put it in the pool. Most people might have just parked it next to the pool or something like that, but they went for it, right? And we were like, all right, let's see what we can do with this. And so it's just kind of surreal to see a Lamborghini. And I'm a car guy too, man. So to see the Lamborghini sitting there in that water feature is just, I mean, it doesn't get cooler than that.
Yeah, I mean, I follow Nate and Justin on social media, so I always see these crazy projects that they're coming out with. And I definitely know that they're known for putting together some really over-the-top designs. But talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, how does the integration of a luxury car into a pool design really impact the engineering and construction process?
We had to modify what our typical perimeter overflow detail is. And so most people listening probably have an idea of what a perimeter overflow is, but really there's a gutter beneath, in this case, a stainless steel overhang. It's like an L bracket almost that overhangs a gutter and it comes almost right up against the pool structure there. So all you see is a little strip, but in the area where the car goes over, we didn't want to have a full overhang of 6 or 8 inches. You know, that car is pretty heavy and just, you never know what's going to happen. How many times or someone could park it and stop and the back wheels could be sitting on that overhang. And we have to account for that. So, you know, we beefed up the structure on that side. We removed the drop piping from that entry area. So we wanted to make sure that the structure was robust enough. So we got rid of all the PVC plumbing that goes in a typical perimeter overflow edge condition. So that way we could increase the structural integrity of the concrete. We kind of made it a minimal gutter where the overhang is only a few inches, like 3 inches or something like that. Kind of we slope it either way to the other sides of the perimeter overflow, and which we have the regular conditions with the drop piping and everything. So we have a very minimal overhang there. You can drive in and out as many times as you want. You don't really have to worry about it. It's not as big of a concern as a typical condition. So that's something that we had to, and we went through a couple different iterations, by the way, before we landed on that one. It's kind of a simple solution. And the entire area looks very simple, but it was certainly, you know, we had to do our due diligence in regards to the car and the structure to make sure that this thing was gonna work and last as well.
Well, you hit on that for a second. So let's talk about that. You were discussing, you know, the iteration process of coming up with the final design that would work. I mean, how do you balance the aesthetic vision of a project like that with the practical engineering requirements?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times, and look, our job is to take Foxterra's design and make it achievable, right? But the other side of that is there's a level of professionalism where, you know, we're obligated to bring up certain concerns. And really, nobody likes to tell anybody, hey, you can't do this, this isn't going to work, right? But if that's what it takes to make a project that's going to be successful, just based on, and sometimes it's just based on experience. You know, when you're doing something new like this, that to the best of our knowledge has never been done before, sometimes you don't really know if it's going to work, right? It's, you know, we can't really R&D something like this. So we have to do everything we can beforehand to make sure that this is going to work. And so even, you know, it's stuff like placing the fittings and, you know, we had to place the returns down the center to make sure that the wheels didn't drive over any of the return fittings. The original design actually had stepping pads going over this runway, right? I'm calling it a runway because it's a long rectangular linear area where the car drives in, basically. And there was originally stepping pads that go from one side to the other. And from a design perspective, from Foxterra's point of view, it's a great place to put a walkway because now, if not, you know, for circulation reasons to get to that side of the pool, you gotta walk around this long runway. So putting pavers there makes total sense from a design perspective. But and we tried to make that work, by the way. The first thing we did was like, okay, this looks challenging enough because not only is it a perimeter overflow, not only does it slope from the corners down to the center, but now we have to accommodate the stepping pad that the car is going to drive over. You know, how do we do that? And so we tried to make it work. We used 3D softwares, you know, 2D, 3D to try to make this thing work. And we just couldn't get it to work. It just wasn't practical, wasn't feasible. So we had to do away with the stepping pads. And that's a conversation that we don't do anything without respecting Justin and their design. Whether it's a designer like them or even an architect or a landscape architect, you know, we work with a lot of other professionals. You know, we don't just make changes without their knowledge. You know, we bring that up to them. We have discussions about it. And they were very cool about, you know, they were like, hey, if we can't do it, we can't do it. You know, so that's another thing I admire about them as well, is that they were very good about the changes that needed to be made to make this thing a functioning vessel. And sometimes what's in the design just doesn't always work from an engineering and a practicality standpoint. You know, and our job is also to as much as we're trying to make that design work, you know, we also work very closely with a lot of these contractors, and we're in the field and doing site visits and stuff. And so We do have a level of experience when it comes to the constructability of these things. We kind of know sometimes, okay, well, could this work? Maybe, and yeah, probably, but is this the best solution for longevity? You know, is the craftsmanship going to work? And so we take a lot of those things, a lot of those factors into consideration when making those type of decisions. You know, taking stuff out of the design is never really what we want to do. If anything, we want to add more stuff and make the design cooler and better. And how can we incorporate everything that the designer wants? But sometimes those are the challenging decisions that you have to make and say, look, guys, it's possible, but we're not confident that this is going to come out how you guys think it's going to come out.
Well, that's why that collaboration is important, because once the engineers come in, it's more about, is this feasible? You know,
right.
Well, now that this waterfront luxury pool project is completed, I mean, really, how do you feel about the final result and its impact on the property?
Oh, man. It came out great, man. And I'm not just saying that either, because we were involved in it. I mean, I've been on projects that we're both involved in and not involved in. And you come up to a project like that, the very first thing I notice is craftsmanship. You know, all of these projects look beautiful in the design phase, right? The renderings all look beautiful, you know, the pictures and the videos. But a lot of times you walk on a project and you can see the craftsmanship from a mile away, in my opinion. It's another blessing and a curse. You have the designer's eye. It's like you can see that kind of stuff. So, you know, one, it works from a functional standpoint, right? It actually works. I've literally driven the car, you know, on and off that landing there. I'm not the only one, obviously, but it works. And the perimeter overflows. There's no dry spots. I mean, Custom Pool Systems did an incredible job, you know, executing and building that project, and not just building it, but building it to, you know, with a level of craftsmanship that you can see a mile away, and it looks expensive, you know, it feels expensive. And that's through material selections and just the way that, you know, mitered edges and just devil's in the details kind of thing. You know, there's beautiful, huge, monstrous projects that just have poor craftsmanship, and you can see calcification coming through. You can see, you know, just not aligned edges and stuff like that. But so this product came out awesome.
All right, well, let me hit you another way. In hindsight, is there anything that you would have done differently in terms of engineering or design for this specific project?
Differently. No, I don't think so, man. You know, it's something that as a designer, I'm always looking at stuff and how we could have done this different and how we could have, you know, it's still fresh. We were just there on Wednesday last week. So yeah, maybe we would have put some lighting in the, you know, in the gutter of that feature, you know, just small stuff. But I think overall, no, it came out great. There's not really much more you can do. I mean, that project has everything, and it's got a recess. I mean, the recessed area on that product is monstrous, and that's the biggest one we've ever done. It's got really cool entry steps. It's like a sun shelf slash entry steps. They're really large. You know, it's got an elevated, you know, overflow spa. It's got these huge linear fire features, these massive, I think they're Egyptian palms. It's got huge stepping pads. No, I mean, I think from a design, I mean, it's a great design. You know, it was great execution. I don't think there's anything that I would say we would have done differently.
Well, I'm glad I got you to open up on a lot of different details here, Johnny.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you, you know, doing this, Joe, and I'm happy to give you, you know, a prop what you're doing, man, also. And I've been in the industry for a long time, and you know, just to see a fresh new magazine come out and see what you guys are doing. And it doesn't get cooler than that. You know, I bet that you guys enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. So it's nice to get to meet all you guys at all the different shows and always find out about what cool new projects are coming out. It's a joy to be able to report on some of the best stuff coming out in the industry.
Yeah, man, it's incredible. The industry's come so far. I mean, even from when I was a kid, man, you know, kidney shaped pools in the backyard. Now it's just, you should see. Well, I mean, I say that this is pretty cool, but man, we've just got some next level projects with architects, you know, very renowned architects all over the world. And they're just doing next level stuff. It's just water's being incorporated into the entire property now. And it's really incredible to see. It's like they're designing these oases, you know. It's not even a house with a backyard and a front yard anymore. It's just like, we'll show you some stuff we got coming up, but it's very exciting, man. It's all very exciting.
Johnny, thanks so much for spending the time with us today to chat about this project. It's a real eye catcher, and I appreciate you taking the time out to discuss it.
Yeah, man, of course. Anytime, Joe. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
Well, that's all the time we have left for today. You'll have a chance to see this project for yourself in the next issue of Pool Magazine. Thanks for listening in. Make sure to like, follow, and subscribe, and we'll catch you next time on another episode of Pool Magazine Podcast.
PAL Lighting is a globally distributed line of wirelessly controlled underwater LED lighting and controls for pools, spas, landscapes, water features, and outdoor accent lighting. Our passion is to be able to light up any space, whether it's a pool or spa, an outdoor living area, or anything else in between. The result is the most powerful, reliable, and diverse line of wirelessly controlled lights in the aquatics industry that are fully compatible with today's major pool automation systems. Light up the night with PAL Lighting. Ready to learn more? Visit us on the web today at pallighting.com.